All right, guys, welcome to the Fight Science Podcast. This is a very different episode to what I normally put out, but I think there will be immense value in this for a lot of you guys. So if you follow me on social media, you'll know that I've gotten into endurance running and am currently training for an ultra marathon. This past weekend, I had possibly one of the toughest training sessions I've ever had, not just physically, but mentally. The volume of my training schedule combined with the stress of running my businesses and general life is really starting to show me just how brutal this training can be. I basically walked in the door in not a very good frame of mind. I got the training session done, but I just did not feel great about it afterwards. So I called the person who I would deem as one of the best mental performance coaches in the Southern Hemisphere, David Neath. You guys would be familiar with Neathy, as I've had him on the podcast before. Neathy basically dropped everything he was doing and got me in for a session so we could go over what happened, reflect on it, and learn from it. And he also allowed me to record it. I understand you go through highs and lows with training, but this is a cool example of why it is important to have someone like Dave in your corner to help you handle situations like this. This is a bit different from our normal podcast content, but I think a lot of you guys will get a lot of value out of this. So let's get to it.
Well, why don't we just maybe reflect on our little conversation before we decided to record this. One of the things that we talked about was understanding the prime directive of the subconscious mind is to protect us. That's why we get that the pain receptors going and the brain's going, fuck, we've got to stop. Do you know what I mean? So one of the key things that we talked about was reframing things to serve us, yeah? So, and from there, we went into one of those simple affirmations, which is, pain is the universe telling me it loves me. And so it's and learning to fall in love with it. Now, whether you're a religious person or not, some people might call God, some people might call universe. But through my years of practice, I've found that a lot of people have really fallen in love with that affirmation that sort of becomes a conscious reminder of, hey, you know what? I'm reframing this in a way that helps serve me to achieve what I want. Right. So anyway, so from there, what are we saying? We wanted three little key things. Yeah.
Yeah. Can we go into that though, Neathy? Because I want to ask you, because I was saying when we were chatting, like that's where I go when I go to that deep dark place. I go, this pain is a privilege. To have this pain is a privilege. Everything you've done up to this point, it's a privilege. Now you get to carve it out and you get to talk to that person that you meet deep dark down inside your mind, and you get to grow. That's where you get to grow. And you were talking about saying that, you know, a lot of people, if they believe in God, if they don't, they use that faith. What are they attaching to? Is that something someone can like work on with themselves and be like, okay, well, what is it that I'm going to attach, or what are the values I'm going to attach when I get to that place? Is that something that they just need to figure out, okay, what's really their values and their core values, and they've got to attach that to that?
Yeah, well, we were talking about values, and I was saying that, you know, generally in life, we're not really consciously aware of it. It's like iceberg. But those values sort of sit below them. Our consciousness, you know what I mean? But funny enough, it's those values to a certain point that dictate the decisions that we make in life. Now, a lot of people still sort of get confused about values and beliefs. Now, so maybe let's get a level of definition.
Yeah.
Values by definition are a preference times a priority, right? So what are the preferences and priorities in your life? Now, how I like to explain it, it's like a value is like a belief system on drugs, on like steroids, right? So they're really fucking important. And then we've got belief systems, and the purpose of a belief system by definition is something I hope is true. And we basically, you get a hierarchy system of values. And in that hierarchy, you'll attach belief systems to that. So we'll have a value of, I believe, you know, for the sake of argument, and I believe in God, right? And so what we'll do is we'll attach belief systems to that that help support that value. So when you start adjusting that hierarchy and or start establishing strong beliefs around your identity, who you are, what you want, what your objectives are, it can affect the belief systems. And the other thing, it also that one of the other thing that's really important is to mind your language. And so as you're going through, let's put this in the context of ultra running. I would say, let's just say for the sake of argument, you're running for 24 hours. Generally, what we do know is making the certain assumption here that you've done the training and you've done plenty of hours, right? So we're probably confident in saying that for the first 70% of it, you're going to be okay. You're going to get into the rhythm of things. It's not like you get, I mean, you're going to feel pain, but it's nothing that you're not unaware of or not familiar with that you've been through before. But ultimately, then you start getting closer and closer to that physical threshold, eh? And then you become more and more vulnerable because now the prime directives and those pain receptors are firing off going, hey, mate, everything's fucking sore now, mate. My knees are sore. I haven't got enough energy, you know. And what happens is that we can actually start to surrender to that state. We convince ourselves that we are. Now, for the ultra runner, an effective runner is we recognize that we can override that. And we override that with something that's more powerful. It's like getting leverage over yourself. And so you think about the values hierarchy, you can say, hey, look, I value pizza over salad. And the hierarchy, that's not really that important. But if I said, hey, listen, I value my wife over this, you know what I mean? You'll find ways to motivate yourself through that pain because there's a bigger purpose involved in that. There's a bigger need. You know, you look at, for instance, you think about women who you say, how many women right now can deadlift 300 Ks? Bugger all. But you put a child under a car, that value, I'm going to lift that. And so you get to this wonderful place where ideally, I think you get into a slightly altered state.
Yeah.
You probably found this, that you sort of get into a rhythm.
Mm.
And with that comes almost like a sense, it's almost like you're consciously aware of the running, but your mind, you can allow it to drift. I mean, running is running. It's not too technical.
Mm.
And what we were discussing before, the challenge that you have with something like ultra running, kind of similar to golf, is that you have time to think. Now, it's about your ability to make proper choices about what you want to focus on. When you think about the pain and you think about fighting the pain, that's counterproductive because in fighting the pain and the linguistic markers of that, you know, fuck, I'm really starting to hurt. You've already failed to a certain point because you've acknowledged the pain. But if you were to reframe it and going, God, I'm loving this, it kind of allows you then to be able to make the choice about where you put your focus. And you can, I mean, I've had some people say, they get into a rhythm where there's a song that they'll play in their heads, or a rhythm or a sound or whatever. And they're just simply playing an orchestra in their minds, which is to a certain point, why not acknowledging the pain? Well, what do you do with a kid when they've hurt themselves? You say, oh, my God, did you see that? You know, and that's in effect what we're doing. We're playing tricks with our minds to be able to manage ourselves through that process.
Because it's a thing, eh, Neithi? Because like I was saying before, one of the most, I'd almost say like spiritual things, but like craziest things that's happened to me or things that I've learned, and it's on the back of conversations we had and things you've spoken to me about and talking about like what you do with the boys and talking about how you create their alter egos. And I've taken that a lot into my training, is that when you get into that position where you're facing all of this, I don't know if myself, if I could handle it, but this alter ego I've created in my mind, I know he can. Like, I know he can. And he has all these mechanisms and almost created these buzzwords where, you know, this pain is a privilege. You being able to experience this is something that not many people can experience, and you're allowed to grow. And where growth is, like where the suffering is, that's where growth is. And that's how you get better. And that's how you're going to achieve all these things. Is that something you recommend, like purposely sitting down and giving thought and constructing this? So when you get into that spot, it's not just like you're hoping this person pops into reality. It's that you've got this character.
Yeah, I think it first starts with a certain level of curiosity, right? So, I mean, I think we've got to predispose to a certain point that we all have that ability within us. You know, we had an ego and superego. I mean, in this context, what I talk about, based on what Nietzsche talked about with the Superman, not so much in some of his psychological sense, but more in a representation of the best version of you. You know what I mean? And so for me, firstly, if we acknowledge that we have had situations where we've been quite proud of ourselves, the way we've conducted, and then you can back it up with this beautiful thing. The wonderful thing we have as human beings is we have creativity. You know, we have, that's the gift that we have ultimately that makes us different from a cow's eating grass. It doesn't know it's, well, it knows it's eating grass, but it doesn't understand the reason why it's eating. It just fucking eats grass. But as human beings, we have this level of consciousness. And with that gift comes creativity. And we have been doing all our lives. We, as kids, you imagine this is when we were kids and you're out playing with your mates and you got a piece of wood. That piece of wood wasn't a piece of wood. It was a bazooka or a rifle or whatever. And so we have this ability now to create something. And the principle underlying that is to disassociate and borrow resources. And I encourage people to act as if. So people say to me, look, you know, what do I do in this situation if I'm just a little bit doubtful? Well, the fundamental thing is act as if you did know. So what's the first thing you're going to do when you act as though you do know? You're probably going to change your physiology. You change your perception. And then you start getting to this point where you start fucking getting excited about the challenge itself. Pain is not something to be avoided. It's something to be embraced. Now, let's be smart on this. If you break your arm, the smart thing is not to continue in your bench press, for instance, is to go to the fucking hospital. So there has to be a certain level of intellect involved in the whole process. But fundamentally, the excitement and and being mesmerized by the fact that you can override that prime directive, that's what makes us unique. But for most of us, we don't tend to want to go to that point. There's only a few. I mean, isn't it interesting you think about a lot of people, for instance, may think about going into armed forces. But they're all very fit, very intelligent, very, you know, committed people. However, how many actually make it into something like the SAS? It's the elite. It's the best of the best. It's no different from the Olympics. There's a lot of sprinters around the world. How many actually get a gold medal? One. And that's the journey that we're all on, whether we're athletes or not. I have always said the challenge and the gift that we have by being creative is to take the opportunity to be the best version of ourselves and to get excited about things that we're fearful of. And we all have different things. I mean, initially for me, it was the physical. The idea of going under a 300K squat scared the shit out of me, or a 200 bench. But then you conquer it. And what does it do? How does it make you feel? How does it make you feel? I mean, you think about this. When you go and do a 120K run, now let's think about this, break this down. How many people even contemplate doing that with a real, with a level of intention to go, fuck it, I'm going to do that tomorrow? Most people would go, you've got to be fucking kidding me. You're nuts. But that's what excites you. Because for you, that's you conquering something. That's you. There's a level of anticipation. There's a level of excitement. There's a level of curiosity. But you're also shitting yourself because you know it's going to fucking hurt.
Yeah, fucking hurt.
But in of itself, it excites you, doesn't it?
Mm.
Because when you do conquer that, it's not just about that race. It's about what it represents within you, eh? How do you feel when you do something that most people can't do?
If you can do that, then what's stopping you doing whatever else and everything else in your life?
It becomes a metaphor for life, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? I mean, if I can conquer this, what I can take on any challenge.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's, I think, to a certain point, the beauty of sport and the beauty of being a human being is that, you know, for me, in my personal beliefs, and everyone has different beliefs, and please be respectful, and I'm going to voice what I believe. But for me, I truly believe that we've been given the gift of life. And our purpose now, because we've been given that gift, is to become the best we can be and all we can be. And if you're constantly asking that level of question of yourself every day, you'll find it's interesting the choices that you make, the direction that you take, the energy that you create. It's pretty powerful stuff. Hence why I love working with high-performance athletes. They think differently from the average person.
Yeah, it's wild, right? Like, and you hit the nail on the head so well, because that's what I found. I think that obviously that's why I called you just before, because it's a weird thing to go through when you're going through and you're in that pain cave, or like I call it, like the deep dark ditches of your mind. And you're like, I know there's going to be some benefit to that, but you're like, I know I have to go through this pain. But you're like, you really do. You have to reframe it and go, this pain is going to suck, but it's a good suck. And it's, and you know what? You love the suck. You love the suck. And then you go, what other things are suck? Starting a business sucked. For years it sucked. And it doesn't suck now, but it does kind of suck. But it's a great suck because it's the best suck that I've done in my life. And then
yes, mate. Well, there's two things. First one is pain means new life, right? And what that means is, you know, I'll guarantee you a lot of the learnings and things that actually shape our values and our decisions in life to a certain point in some situations are through tough situations. So pain in of itself, I mean, we work so hard to avoid pain. And sometimes that's not on the other side of pain. Is pleasure. You know what I mean? Now, we all go through this at different levels. But I'm also a fan of the mentality, you know, you were saying before about starting the business. You and I both, entrepreneurial. I've been going damn near 30 years now. But there was a little saying that I absolutely love, and that is, if you want to walk on water, first you've got to step out of the boat. And that's about taking risks. Now, isn't that, in essence, what life's about too? It's about taking risks. I mean, to a certain point, everything we do, we're sort of ascertaining, you know, what's the risk involved in having this burger? You know, we're risk assessment. But again, from a lot of us, it's sort of like, mate, you've scaled it up big time, haven't you? I mean, it probably helps a little bit that you are insane. But the pleasure that you get about conquering something, I think what it does is the fulfillment that we get. Now, ideally, you know, how some people get fulfillment and they get that that a dopamine dump and whatever, all those other beautiful hormones. A lot of people get that through drugs and other vices. But there's something healthy in pushing yourself mentally in the gym, on the track, that there's something very special. And you think about a lot of, for our UFC fighters, they have got such a passion for the fight itself because they're scared. But that excites them. That is what they're excited about, is the fact that they are shit scared about getting in there and getting punched in the face and getting knocked out. But it's at that point that they're most alive. They don't exactly love all the training, but they know it's necessary. And a lot of them do enjoy that. But ultimately, that moment when they step in that ring, that's when they're most alive. That's their purpose. And for you, putting on your bloody running shoes and pissing off halfway across fucking Australia for 2 days, that's your voice, man. That's your life.
It is, hey, because it's getting comfortable being vulnerable. It's something that I've, and you know what? I've learned that from the guys and like from you and what you've taught with them, because I think everyone thinks when you like elite level athletes just love training every single day and rock up. And that's one of the most powerful lessons that's helped me in so many ways, not just the business and like with my own training, everything is that being vulnerable and being in that position where you're like, fuck, like I'm terrified of this, or like this could really go tits up and this, I'd be fucked. But you got to get excited about that. That's what, because you know, like you said, pain and pleasure, it's a fine line you walk, right? Like, side of that, like,
I mean, I suppose you got to look at it from this perspective to truly understand that euphoric moment of being of excitement. You have to have a frame of reference. So, how are you supposed to really appreciate that if you don't understand pain? And when you have that frame of reference, that's what allows you then to celebrate that. Because you have that frame of reference, pain is pleasure, and pleasure can be pain. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's so true. And Ethi, I guess, like obviously I appreciate, taking the call and letting us record it and do it. What I've written down from this chat, and I guess if people are going to take it and the reason I want to record is because, like I said, I had that training session day and it was mental absolute fuckery. And I got to go out as part of my training and go out and basically do it again tomorrow. And I was thinking, fuck, how do I get through this? And how do I put myself back in? And tell you what, I'm feeling very confident with it now. But what I wrote down is values and affirmations. Make sure that your self-belief and your self-identity and the person you want to be, what you're doing is working towards getting to that person. If you believe you can be that person, you can be it. Fuck it. You can be, even if you're not that person now, believe it, get out there and do it, and you can be. And then the next point I wrote is have a bigger purpose and a bigger need to do it than just yourself. Or if it is just yourself, have a bigger purpose that you imagine yourself fulfilling. And then reframing the pain. Yeah. I think that's such a good one. Reframe the pain to be a positive, especially when you have the time to think, like when you're in, maybe like we're saying, not when you're in fights and it's a very reactive, but when you're doing things that are, you have time to think, reframe and take that negative and turn it into a positive. And this one I really, really like was disassociate and borrow resources to override the discomfort.
Yeah, mate. Hey, listen, it was interesting because we were talking, so I know we're going to sum it up pretty quickly, but I was thinking about three things because you said, hey, give us three things. And I like threes because they're rhythmic. I've got three things three things that I just want to share before we go. The first one is Three Steps to Greatness by a man called Jim Rohn. I don't know if some of us may know of Jim Rohn, but he's an amazing guy. Number one, set goals. Two, educate yourself. And three, have a financial plan. That's more for life. Now, for me, as far as performance is concerned, and I'm trying to, there's so many different things, right? But I want to break it down into, for me, first one was you must have a tenacious resolve. People talk about passion, they talk about obsession, but I think fundamentally, you must be tenacious in your resolve to create what you want. The next one, ironically, is protect yourself at all times. And that is to remember, part of that is to reserve everything to serve you, and protect yourself as in your self-image, your self-image in the sense of this is too hard. So fundamentally, it's about minding your language and protecting yourself. And the last one I've got is getting in that zone of assertiveness and managing that physiology. Manage that physiology, your breathing, your state, with a tenacious resolve and a strong self-image. You've got a champion.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
All right, buddy.
And there it is, another episode of the Fight Science Podcast. That's a different type of episode of the podcast than what we normally do, but that 25-minute call is just filled with good points that everyone, athletes or not, can apply to be their best self from today. I highly encourage you to head to davidneathcoach.com or to follow Dave on socials at BigDave02 to see what Neathy is up to and how you can get in contact with him. This podcast will be available through the podcast app, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and you'll also be able to download it from my website, www.thefightdietitian.com/podcast. If you enjoy listening to the podcast, then be sure to head to the podcast app, give us a rating, and leave us a review. Thanks for listening in. I'll see you guys for the next episode. Fight Science Podcast.